Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. It's kind of suggested.
It's almost that Walken-esque pause. It's Parental Guidance Suggested. I imagine that's how it's
crazy. Jane Ellen here with Adam Cravens, and we're going to get to a movie review.
Yeah, one of these days we'll go right into it like we're in a horse race. But
yeah, we don't want.
It's probably not today, but like one day, because you have to have goals. I think it's good to set them. I mean, maybe not necessarily like instantly achieve them, but as long as you have a goal and you're working towards something, I think that's ultimately what counts.
Crazy. So, I already forgot what movie you saw.
Instant Family.
Oh, that's right. Instant Family.
Just you've got a little powdered family, you add a little water, boom.
So I heard someone who I didn't know talking in passing to someone else about it. I just saw this movie, Instant Family, and it was the weekend it had come out. And this was my thought as she's going, oh, I laughed, I cried, I loved it. And I'm thinking, of all the movies that came out this weekend, you chose that one. Huh. We have nothing in common. That aside.
The film is not unaccessible or unexceptional. Like, the thing about it is, like, oh, okay, when you see the preview for, say, Holmes and Watson, like, Farrell and John C. Reilly, like, those guys are just, they're gangbusters together. I mean, I loved him in Talladega Nights. Step Brothers has to be one of, like, the funniest movies. Like, I would put it in my top.
Never saw it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know the
oh,
concept?
I am aware of it.
Behind it? Like,
maybe not, I saw it. I don't.
Not a fan of John C. Reilly?
No,
if you saw it, it's enough. It's full enough of those bon mots, kind of in the Anchorman sense that, like,
I love
Step Brothers.
Well, part of it is my husband's fault.
I know that he does hate Will Ferrell.
I like Will Ferrell in that I think he'd be super fun to hang around with. And I really loved Megamind.
I really loved Megamind. I've been a fan of his. And I'm saying all this. He's not in this movie. Like, funny enough.
Oh.
The director.
If he were.
The gentleman that directed this, Sean Anders, I believe is his name, met him on Daddy's Home, who is Mark Wahlberg, who does star in this movie's co-star. The two of them have a very, like, a straight man, funny man shtick that works. The two of them also work together on The Other Guys, and, like, Wahlberg and Ferrell have a definitive chemistry. No one has ever accidentally mixed the two of them up. Like, physically, the two are wildly different specimens. Their approach to acting, completely different. Their styles of comedy. Like, so one is not necessarily tripping over the other when they're, like, they're not trying to one-up the other in the same way with a joke. The fact that Wahlberg is kind of your comedic backbone of this movie. And like I said, it's not that Mark Wahlberg is not funny at all. I don't think he's funny enough to kind of be the lightning rod.
Oh, so this is a comedy.
Yes.
Oh.
Instant Family is it is from the same guy that did Daddy's Home. Like, there's,
I thought it was more of a, I don't know, drama.
There are dramatic, much in the same way that, like, Daddy's Home is about like this stepfather trying to integrate into this family, like, with two kids that are still very much attached to their biological father, but they also love their stepfather, see that, like, he is definitively trying to make a difference in their life. But the fact that one of them looks like he's, like, Hell's Angels, like, and you know, or maybe he's in a gang or something, and then you have Will Ferrell that looks like the IT guy, like, out of your office. Like,
right.
And the fact that these two are now, like, one is the stepfather, and they begin conflicting because of that. Like, you get a lot of material from that.
My spouse was annoyed that I giggled several times during Daddy's Home.
Oh, like, I I am a fan of that movie, not the least of which because like I am a stepfather, like I understand like that kind of conflict. Like there's a lot that I can relate to. Like the scene where Will Ferrell accidentally drives the Harley like up the stairs in his house mm-hmm. and runs into the wall. I don't really like, you know, openly like feel a camaraderie with that scene. But there's a lot of that conflict and kind of those hurdles that you have to come through coming into it as a step parent that I can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
So like Daddy's Home kind of hit me in a pretty solid way. There's also a sequel. They bring in Mel Gibson as Mark Wahlberg's father. And like I will say Mel Gibson has made some very unfortunate statements. Very unfortunate statements in has it been 10, 15 years?
Seems like
ago
yesterday
at this point. Like
and yet crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, he is the perfect foil.
He is.
To John Lithgow plays Will Ferrell's father.
Mm-hmm.
Like honestly, if you did a spinoff movie about the two grandfathers, mm-hmm. like the step grandfather and the biological grandfather, I'd watch that. Mel Gibson and John Lithgow, like they just worked in this movie. Like mm-hmm. the chemistry, like the juxtaposition of the characters, everything works about that. Like it felt the equation balanced.
And yet, this is the movie we're not talking about.
Well, I'm walking through that because like the Sean Anders and Mark Wahlberg are all over these movies.
Mm-hmm.
So like they obviously understand comedy, like they understand kind of that interpersonal relationships with families. However, this film is missing its Will Ferrell. And I'm not saying Will Ferrell, he is the one that needed to be in this movie, but he was very much the comic lightning rod mm-hmm. that like everything kind of centered around. Like the rest of the guys were funny, but like Will Ferrell, he was your Jordan. Like he just kept pumping those mm-hmm. threes, like just put your boom, boom. Occasionally, you know, Scottie Pippen would come around, like toss in like a two
wait,
or something
wait,
like
that. Wait, are you?
The Chicago Bull, yes, the 1990s Chicago.
Are you making a sports reference?
I can sometimes tie in a Tiger Woods reference as well. All the rest of them, I know that Babe Ruth played the baseball. Harry Potter played Quidditch. Like that's, but I've exhausted everything I know about sports now. Wait, no, movies about sports. I know.
Oh, yeah. Longest Yard.
They better be about real things. Like, I've seen Rookie of the Year when that kid that hurt his arm and he could pitch in the major league.
Another movie that we're not reviewing.
I don't think that one was real, though.
Oh.
It may not have been.
Huh.
Whatever the case. I said all that to say, like,
Rudy,
this film does not have its kind of comic, like, centerpiece.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is where it kind of meanders. The story is solid enough. Like, Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrne, I believe is her name. She was played Myra McTaggart in the X-Men movies. I believe she was in Bridesmaids mm-hmm. as well. Like a fine, talented actress.
So they're a couple and they want to foster a child, but they're given the opportunity to quickly foster more than one.
They find kind of this sassy teenager.
Mm-hmm. Like on the street?
No, 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 no. It's not just like, hey we're taking
sassy.
You home.
Yeah.
That's kidnapping. and that's not what this movie's about. Like, they're going through this adoption agency, basically. Yeah. And initially they say, you know, oh, we want like, you know, a little boy or a little girl, like, you know, 2-year-old, like that very stereotypically what a couple would like. They meet at kind of this, I don't know exactly how to, let's a meet and greet for like the kids that are up for adoption. And initially they're looking at like the very young kids. They find a teenager that happens to smart off to them in a really funny way.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of sparks in them just going, well, because they've set this up in the film by them saying, you know, the teenagers traditionally, they just age out.
Yeah.
And statistically, it can lead to this, this, and this. Like, they never recover from this. So the two of them get to talking, and they're like, well, what if we adopt? What if we're the ones that adopt the teenager? We'll do that. And they ask them about it, and they're like, well, here's the catch with that. She has a little brother and a little sister. They're very, very close-knit. If you get her, like, you would need to, we're not saying this is, you know, mandatory, but she looks after them, like, they depend on her. She is almost like a surrogate, you know, mother to them in a certain way. So you, they don't, they should, they were like, if you want to do it, it needs to be three of them. So they go from having a young child to wanting a teenager to now having three children. And this is a couple that I don't even think had a pet at the beginning of the movie.
Well, that's interesting.
And you get a lot of your bits of comedy just from their lack of prep. Like, they have a very nice house. They flip houses, like, for money. So, like, one of them kind of interior designs, and then Mark Wahlberg is the one that actually kind of does the meat and potatoes, like, of the work. Like, she'll be like, okay, we're going to buy this house. We'll do this, this, and this with it. We're going to use this type of wood, and then we'll, like, she does most of the planning, and then he goes in, knocks down some walls, puts this in. So, like, they've got this really nice house that I imagine people that, you know, don't have six kids, let's say, have. Like, they are able to go out whenever they want. Like, they can go to movies whenever they want. They want to go out. Take a trip over the weekend.
That's crazy talk. Anybody.
They don't have to send any of that. They don't have to pick somebody up at 3 o'clock. Like, they don't have to make sure that somebody...
Are you saying their lives are their own?
Not necessarily that. There is not an addendum on every single day of their life. And I think they are used to that lifestyle. They enjoy the storybook of, we adopted this teenager.
Yes.
They have not yet experienced, like when you think, oh, wow, yeah, I would, that Ferrari, that'd be great to have. They're not, but when you look at that and you picture yourself driving it, maybe you got those driving gloves and everything, you're not thinking about the insurance on that thing. You're not thinking about the monthly payments on that thing. You're not talking about what kind of gas this thing consumes. Like, you're not thinking about any of these things. You're just thinking about, oh, I am in that Ferrari. And the real comedy from the movie starts when you start seeing them realize that it's not a storybook. And a lot of it works on those, but the rest of the film, where you don't have that set up, like, they lean pretty hard into the drama because Wahlberg and Byrne are both have most of their backgrounds in comedy and even are in drama. And even when they do comedy, usually they're the straight man. Like, kind of picture, like, if David Spade and Chris Farley and Laurel and Hardy met, but, like, you took the two straight men and put them in their own movie together. Like, it's not that it would completely lack comedy, because, like I said, they're talented actors and they understand comedy, but that's not where their instincts lie. And when they lean into the drama in this, and I all of my kids are adopted, so maybe the drama hit me a little bit harder than it did other people. But, like, I understand, like, some of that interplay of, like, the kids, like, kind of warming up to you, like, having to go through that process where this essentially a stranger is now kind of your caretaker, and you start seeing them making, like, breakthroughs and everything. Not gonna lie, got a little misty in the movie. I don't know if this is going to be everyone's reaction, but, like, when you especially started picking on the adoption themes, really started picking at my heartstrings, but it's a very personal issue for me. The woman that was sitting in front of me that was watching the movie, she apparently was hit very emotionally with it. I evidently saw it with a bunch of elderly women.
Which is how you usually roll.
That's, well, I guess. but I saw it at, like, noon on, like, a Tuesday or something. And she just turns around, like, she was also clapping, like, after the movie was over. I didn't want to break it to her that they can't hear her. but she was very happy about it, and she turned around and she's like, that was so good. I'm glad we got to experience that. And I'm just like, I'm going to drink my Mellow Yellow Zero with lime in it. Yes. I'm overjoyed that we shared this experience. What's your name? What's your name again? Just, I don't, I, they, It's a big, large, open auditorium, and it's dark. I feel like talking to people that you didn't bring with you or didn't come with you, you didn't meet there at the theater, it's kind of like walking into the bathroom and looking to your right at the stall or urinal next to you and just being like, how's it going, buddy? what's happening in your life? I'm doing good right now. I just met this girl. I think we're really hitting it off. I ate a ham sandwich, and let me say, like, it was a little bit salty, but like the sandwich was not displeasing. Can I tell you that much? And they're just like, get out of my face. If I'm standing at the urinal, that's no talking. That's a no talking zone. It's not even an inside voice like type of situation. It's a no voice. We don't.
And you know, my friend Rob had that same experience when he was at a urinal next to Malcolm Jamal Warner. He said, it's not the time for me to introduce myself.
It's not. It is just absolutely not. Like, it is a definite breach of etiquette. And I'm not saying, like, you know, maybe if she had dropped her glasses, if she couldn't have been like, sir, I cannot find my glasses. Could you assist? Sure, yes. Like, I'm not a Philistine. Like, I would do that. But, like, she wanted to share this emotional, like, experience with me. And, like, I was in the theater. That's as far as we need to take it. Like, I don't go to the Tuesday at noon so that, like, I can experience the fellowship with my brethren, okay? I go to, like, the 11:15 on a Sunday so that no one will talk to me. Like, I don't like large crowds of people. Like, maybe if they were paying to see me and chanting my name, I would feel differently. But that's not why I go to the movies that early and on weird days. There's a reason you don't see me in the theater consistently at Friday at 7. Like, okay, Avengers Endgame, that just dropped. I am going to try to experience that as soon as I can. Probably not midnight.
Call her up.
You're my wife?
See if and she... the woman.
Oh, yeah.
So she can experience it with you.
I don't think my wife is going to be cool with me just calling up this woman who she doesn't know that I tell the story and it involves the word emotional experience. I think this is a terrible, terrible idea. And I believe she was nearly 30 years my senior.
Whatever.
I don't know this woman's name.
The point is,
yes,
instant family, it's okay.
I think it leans a little into its drama. And like I said, if it was just a straight up dramatic movie, but I feel like, especially with when you look at the pedigree that this comes from,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying like comedy directors can't do drama or vice versa. Like Adam McKay has very famously like parlayed into some more serious work. The show on HBO that I thought was going to be a comedy when I saw that he and Will Ferrell were producing it.
You were mistaken.
He and Will Ferrell also produced The Big Short,
mm-hmm.
That had several Oscar nominations. They're producing Vice that's coming out on Christmas Day about the experience. You've got Christian Bale playing Dick Cheney as the vice president mm-hmm. to W.
And he also works the Vice Squad.
I don't know if that's the way. If you have not seen the preview for Vice, Christian Bale.
I've seen the makeup, though.
He is playing Dick Cheney, and like he looks like Dick Cheney. If you have ever seen a picture of Christian Bale previous to this movie, and I'm assuming you have because he was in those Batman movies that made a bajillion dollars and everyone loved. One of them was up for Best Picture. Heath Ledger got a Best Supporting Actor for one of them. I'm assuming some of you saw that movie. All right. Christian Bale is not balding. Pretty decent shape.
Eh.
And I mean, let's see. Dark Knight Rises, that was about, what, 6 years ago? So, like, we're not too far. Christian Bale has brandoed himself, and I don't mean that he is going to do a revival of Streetcar Named Desire brandoed himself. I mean,
no, he could, yeah.
Like, he has put on an incredible amount of weight. I don't know if this is the bald cap.
Remember that one time when something like a political figure, maybe a vice president, shot a guy in the face, and we all laughed and said, is that as bad as it's going to get?
Oh, that's a good time.
Now it's like, I miss that.
When I am looking for the subtlety, the calm, and the experience of George W. Bush, God help us all. But whatever the case, I am looking for escapist entertainment in the vice presidency of Dick Cheney, which is something I never thought
I would say. Does he perhaps sing and dance in this film?
In a Newsy-esque fashion?
Sure.
Christian Bale was in Newsies.
I'm aware of
that. Okay, I'm making sure that you weren't just
I know.
I know that I have random thoughts.
I know.
Making sure. No, I don't think Dick Cheney is ripe. Or his life and times is ripe for a musical retelling, but
Christian Bale could do it.
I'm not Bale's a pretty talented actor.
Who would have thought that Hamilton would have been ripe for a musical
of
epic
Mary Poppins
proportions?
Yeah, who knew? I didn't.
But we're not reviewing any of those.
No.
This review was on Instant Family, and it's okay.
It will tug at your heartstrings, probably. The comedy is adequate, but I wouldn't call it like quintessential.
Yeah. It sounds like when it shows up on a streaming service, you go, oh, okay. But it doesn't sound like I have to go see it in the theater unless that woman is there and she wants to share the experience.
That would be weird if like they have paid that woman to be in like every screening. Of Instant Family.
Wouldn't that be
a
job?
Or they have different women, and they're just like, we're looking for a woman in her late 60s, early 70s to make 30-ish-year-old men uncomfortable, preferably early in the morning.
I'll take that
especially
job.
If while they are drinking what seems to be a mellow yellow zero with a lime flavoring in it, possibly a cherry.
That sounds good.
You can go either way on that.
So the zero means no caffeine, too?
No, it's just it's zero calories.
Isn't that diet
Jane,
Mountain
I have
Dew?
The sugar, so.
But isn't diet Mountain Dew zero calories?
Mellow Yellow.
Oh.
I don't know. They don't have a diet Mellow Yellow. They have a Mellow Yellow zero.
I see. Every time you said Mellow Yellow, I thought, well, why isn't he saying diet Mountain Dew?
Because it wasn't Diet Mountain Dew.
That would be why.
And the our theater in this town has one of those, what do they call it, like mix?
Yeah.
It's one of the ones.
It's a mixologist of sodas.
Basically, yeah. Like you can get like a root beer, a Coke, a Coke Zero, a Diet Coke, like a caffeine-free Coke, a Diet Coke, like any kind of combination you want to make. Like there's a Fanta in there and like. Something you cannot find in a store is a Mellow Yellow Zero limeade flavored. It's my new favorite thing. But the kids and the wife hate it, so if I take them to a movie, I have to get a Diet Coke with vanilla flavoring.
No, you don't, Adam. No, you don't. You don't have to buy that $8 soda and make it something they
like. Well, Jane, here's the catch about taking eight people to the movies. You build up points with that. I can basically get a free drink every time I go to the movies. I earn that many points essentially just by going to the movies with my family.
You're like a migrant caravan.
I am not unlike the Von Tramp family and
the Von Tramps.
Yes.
The Von Trapps. But I'd like to see them as the Von Trapps instead.
Whatever. It's been a minute since I've seen Sound of Music.
With their hobo sticks. I want to see them.
Just wait. But we could just come in there and we're like, can we sing of our favorite things? And they're like, no. Why would you do that?
Because we're the Von Trapps.
We're the Von Trapps.
It's my new favorite thought. Okay. So the next movie you're going to see is?
It is either going to be Widows, the Nutcracker. Yeah, I know. No. I'm not excited.
No.
There's one more, but it's leaving my mind right now.
Okay.
I will tell you this. Like, I have seen almost every film that is in the theater now. Like, until Aquaman.
Mary Poppins is before Aquaman.
Mary Poppins, Aquaman, and there's another film that releases right around that time. Like, It's slim pickings right now.
So if you had a choice, and you do, to go back and see a movie you've already seen that's in the theaters right now, it would be?
Elf, probably, as it is in its 15th anniversary showing.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie does star
Will Ferrell. But does not star
Mark Wahlberg.
That guy.
Though I'll tell you, I would watch a movie about Mark Wahlberg as an elf. Like, if Sean Anders wants to direct, like, the sequel to Elf, and it's about Will Ferrell, like, having an adoptive, like, brother elf who is also a human, who he has to, like, kind of bring into the human world, I'd watch that.
Hmm.
I think the comic possibilities of Mark Wahlberg as a very angry elf.
Oh, definitely.
I'm just saying, I'd watch that.
I want Mark Wahlberg and Lewis Black to be the angry elves.
If Lewis Black was the actual elf that raised angry Mark Wahlberg elf,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of the reason why he's so angry, like just a really disgruntled elf.
I want Melissa McCarthy in this film as well.
You are not assembling what would be a blockbuster of epic proportions, I feel.
I think it'd be great.
Maybe have Kurt Russell show up as Santa Claus
yeah.
in that movie.
Why not?
Netflix, if you're listening, we right. may have just fed you the sequel
to
Christmas Chronicles.
Yeah.
Or maybe he's not even a human. He's just, Mark Wahlberg is an angry elf.
I was speaking to an adult person.
That's even the title of it. Angry Elf.
See? Bad Santa, Angry Elf.
With his father, Lewis Black. Yes.
I was speaking to an adult person.
Did you address them as such?
I'm just letting
adult
you know.
Adult person.
Who has a wife and child.
Sure.
And I kept saying the name Kurt Russell, and I said, I keep saying Kurt Russell to you, and yet you don't seem to know who I'm talking about. Should I say Snake Plissken to you instead?
Some people don't know, like, person's names.
So after he looked it up, he goes, oh, I know who that guy is. I said, good. Next time I say Kurt Russell, I want some recognition here. Lesson learned.
I have experienced a certain euphoric kind of knowledge that comes to you when you find out where people knew Tim Curry from.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want somebody that has a multi-decade storied, varied career.
If he's not your sweet transvestite, why are we talking?
I'm just like, sometimes people are like, oh, the devil from Legend. Oh, the concierge from Home Alone 2. Oh, like, to find out where they, when I say Tim Curry, where their mind goes, I think you almost have this kind of portal into people's people's mindset. To a certain degree, their souls.
I have to concur.
He also played Captain Hook on Peter Pan and the Pirate. I'm just saying, Tim Curry's been a little bit of everywhere, people.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, but he was not in the film we just reviewed.
No.
Which... Nope. We could go off on another tangent, but we're not going to because we're trying to be brief.
We'll save that for later.
So, Instant Family, it's okay. Wait till it's on Netflix or some other
thing. It's not instantly disposable, but you don't need to see it instantly.
Exactly. All right. Thank you for listening to PGS. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.